The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is written in Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, just last week, We were faced with a gospel lesson that easily lent itself to a moral, and so we see the same thing in this week's gospel lesson, and that's a problem because of the nature of the Bible. As we said then, so again now. The Word of God is a book that points to your Savior and your need for a Savior. It confronts you with your sin, and finally and best, it confronts you with your Savior. It is not a book of rules for living that ensures that doing the right thing will make you Jesus' special sunbeam of righteousness, a manual for the right kind of life that makes you healthy, wealthy, wise, popular, friendly, and poised and positioned for leadership. Ugh. Last week's lesson might well have devolved from pointing to the Jesus of the New Testament to a simple moral. The Good Samaritan story is there to tell you to be a good neighbor, for example. And so with this story, dear friend in Christ, the 10 lepers and the one who returns. This could be simply a story to remind everyone that you'd better say thank you. Be a good neighbor and show some gratitude. This is the gospel of the Lord? No, that's not the gospel of the Lord. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. They're very good ideas. But the temptation to let that prevail as the central point of this pericope is compounded by the fact that this is the gospel assigned also for our national Thanksgiving holiday. Give thanks. Be like the one leper and not the nine. Give thanks with a grateful heart. So what is the gospel in this text? The gospel is the Jesus who has mercy, even as it was in last week's gospel lesson. The Jesus who has mercy does not simply cleanse the lepers. He mercifully and graciously invites them to go and show themselves to the priests, to go to the temple, to go to the place of sacrifice where they would be confirmed to be on the ins and not on the outs. In the place where animal lives were ended and blood poured out to reconcile God and man, the lepers, cleansed of their debilitating and disfranchising, socially marginalizing, outcasting condition, would see that Christ's word and Christ's work had cleansed and reconciled them to be able to partake of the holy things in the temple, even the sacrifices of which they had had to be outsiders for so long. Outsiders. There's lots of ways to be on the outs instead of on the inside track, though. You could, for example, have the great misfortune to be born of people who are on the outs, even if they don't have leprosy. That's a race thing, sure as you're born, and that race thing plays in this moment in the Master's ministry. And he was a Samaritan. Was no one found to return and give thanks to God, give praise to God, except for this allogenes, except for this foreigner? What are those nine doing? Where are those nine Jews who ran off? Out once, but now they're on the ins. Unclean formerly, but now they're clean. They've been cleansed to go back to their own religious establishment. But their formerly leprous buddy is still unclean in a way that he can't wash off. What gives? If that's true, why did these Jews even hang out with this Samaritan in the first place? I guess there's really no surprise here. Common suffering can make for some pretty strange bedfellows. And these nine Jews may well have made common cause with this one Samaritan, in spite of the fact that he was a Samaritan, mind you. Not because he was a Samaritan, but in spite of it. Because these were not white Anglo-Saxon business leaders in America leading the charge in their workplace for diversity initiatives. As far as Samaritans and Jews are concerned in Jesus' day, Jews were on the ins racially, and Samaritans were on the outs, looked down on, despised as an inferior race, a mixed race, and therefore not possibly as loved by the Lord as his chosen ones. That's an easy, self-righteous, self-justifying worldview to adopt when you're the one holding the reins of power. But when the leprosy hits, you might as well forget about it. And that's why these Jews make common cause. They're all on the outs, unclean, shunned, at the bottom, untouchable. That is, until they're cleansed. And cleansed, that means they can reinforce the dividing line again. Push away, push out, push off. Re-include themselves in one system and self-exclude themselves from another. And there's a lot that's sad about that. But the saddest, most tragic thing of all about it is that in avoiding the pariah, the persona non grata, and preferring to stick around with the religious establishment instead of clinging to the cleanser himself, the nine are not made well. I mean, yeah, they're made well. That is, they're cleansed of their leprosy. But they were not made well in the sense of the mercy that Jesus delivers. The mercy that they had asked for in the first place. Jesu epistata eleison hemas. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Not heal us. Not cleanse us. Not get us back on the ins instead of the outs. Improve our social existence. Their prayer was simple. Have mercy. Have mercy. Dear friend in Christ, that cry for mercy points forward to the words that Jesus says at the end of this story. Your faith has made you well. Not the healing of a skin disease, but the healing of a sin-sick soul. I am the Jesus who has mercy on you. I am the Jesus who heals you, the whole you, all of you, body and soul, spirit and mind, eyes, ears, all my members, reason and all my senses, the whole lot. When you trust in me, when you cling to me, when you cling to me, you're clean. When you cling to me, you're on the ins with me. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name, Psalm 91. When you cling to me, says the Jesus, you're on the ins. And they all think they're on the ins because they'll go back to the temple and they'll see the animals and the blood and the sacrifice. And so it goes, morning and evening, day after day, over and over again, the temple turning over a daily profit of meat and influence and religious authority. They know they've been cleansed, but they know nothing of mercy. For if they did, they would cling to me and be able to partake of the holy things in this temple, my body, even the sacrifice, which I'm going to lay down for all outsiders, like Samaritans and lepers, and even self-righteous Jews, and even self-righteous you. Mercy, in other words, dear friend in Christ, mercy is about salvation. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy, we pray. Lord, have mercy. Jesus' presence is the mercy for this leper, the gospel for this Samaritan. He is the one to whom the kingdom has come. As Jesus says a few verses later in this chapter of Luke, why are you looking for the kingdom of heaven? Why are you looking up and down and all around? Don't you realize the kingdom of heaven is in your midst? It's right here. It's me, says Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is here because I'm here. And this kingdom is for the least and the last and the lost and the leprous and the pariah, the outcast, the persona non grata. Not for those who would take their cleansing into their own hands with a sense of entitlement and privilege, and ungratefully grumble, sure, thanks a lot, Jesus, for finally getting around to giving me whatever I needed to be able to crawl up and climb up and pull myself up by the bootstraps and go up that pyramid of the world's kingdom once again, back to the work of enjoying the blessing and favor of God. Oh, and thanks again for making me Jewish instead of Samaritan. Or white and American instead of brown and poor. Or sexually confident instead of abused and broken. Or of sound mind instead of mentally or emotionally challenged. And of sound body instead of someone who has to use a walker or a chair. Thank God I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. Thanks God for making me me, because I'm pretty self-sufficient and I don't need you checking in on me from time to time anymore. We'll just call this even Stevens. We both get what we want out of the deal and I'll see you around. But don't call us. We'll call you. That's how the kingdom of the world works. But it's to save you from such an attitude, such a shallow life, that the Jesus came to give you life to the full. It's to save you from such a shallow and shadowy and shameful idea that the Jesus came to make himself the anathema, the pariah, the outcast for you, the leper, this Jesus, the persona non grata, who had no form of majesty that we should desire him, no beauty that we should come to him or look at him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken by God, smitten and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes are we healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the outcast, the pariah, the persona non grata, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that, dear friend in Christ, is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's gospel. It's good news, because it takes away the burden of being unclean, looking at the holy things from afar, peering through the darkness at what's going on from the outside, because you're not allowed to enter the sanctuary, or you don't feel clean, or you don't feel worthy enough, or clothed enough, or wealthy enough, or holy enough, or chosen enough, called, gathered, or enlightened enough to partake of his holy things. That's why this is gospel. It's gospel. It's good news, because Christ has taken all that is unclean. He's taken it to himself, dying on the outside of the city with all of what makes you unclean, so that he could bring you to the inside of fellowship with his Father and yours. That's why this is the gospel of the Lord. Today, his mercy calls you, dear friend in Christ, to have done with the sacrifices, to have done with showing off how clean you are to the priests and to the authorities who would enslave you to works of self-righteousness, measuring sticks of holiness, of confidence in doing the right thing. Jesus' mercy calls you from the outside of the church to the inside of his very sanctuary, indeed to this chancel, where you belong, because this is where he calls you from the outside to cling to him, to cling to the cleanser, his body and his blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. You, dear friend in Christ, you have been washed. You have been cleansed. You have been justified. You have been sanctified. Come and cling to the cleanser. In Jesus' name, amen.